Welcome, everyone, to the Look Inside to Discover How to Manage Diabetes. My name is Rochelle Rice, and with me tonight is Jeanette Bronet, Certified Holistic Health Counselor. We were excited to bring this to you tonight because with diabetes being so prevalent in our society, in our world, we wanted to try to present some broader thoughts and ways to manage the diabetes, things that were doable in your lifestyle that would either help you track what was happening with your body or to also help you manage it in a way that was very grounded, very whole, as Jeanette will present during her time. So one of the things we want to try to keep in mind about the diabetes is just having a little bit more awareness or knowledge about where the body should be. I'm not sure how many of you on the call actually have diabetes, and we can talk about that during the Q&A. But one of the things that also interests me is helping you to prevent or at least understand where you are when it comes to blood sugars. Now, normal blood glucose levels are about 90 to 100 is your range of numbers. And so if you're out of that range is when they sometimes will say to you, you might be pre-diabetic or you have high blood sugars. And one of the interesting things to me is to help women, I've talked about this with regards to the stomach, where are some of the organs even located in the body when they're discussed with your doctor? So, for example, a lot of times I'll say to women when it comes to internal organs, do you know where your stomach is? And usually they'll come down around the uterus area, down below the navel. So what I found in trying to introduce women to where the internal organs are located, then there was a deeper connection to the body and what exactly was happening with these organs. So the stomach is located at the base of the esophagus, slightly to the left. Now, the pancreas is located, it sits just underneath or just in a little area right around the liver. And the pancreas is the gland organ in the digestive system that also helps to produce insulin. And so, but knowing where this organ is located, the liver, by the way, is to the right in the body. Knowing to me where this organ is located, again, as I said, helps to center you or deepen you a little bit more into what's happening inside the body. So when the doctor mentions organs such as pancreas or gallbladder or liver, you have a sense of where these organs are. And I highly recommend even doing a Google search for a picture of where some of these organs are located in the body. So that to me had a lot to do with just understanding where they're located. Diabetes itself can be managed with food intake and movement. And the movement to me is one of the keys in the management when it comes especially to type 2 diabetes. Jeanette and I have shared a number of clients where blood sugar levels, cholesterol levels, those types of things that can be, quote, normalized through movement and good food intake, or some of the tips that Jeanette will talk about, have really helped diminish the symptoms of diabetes or brought women back into normal blood sugar levels. Now, the movement is a key issue, and when we're, those of you that are in class understand just the sensation of what it is to move the body, those of you that are out of state and have moved with me before, how important the movement is in one's lifestyle. One of the things I would just like to help you remind you of is that movement has to be taken as part of a lifestyle. That means if you're not going to a traditional class or what I like to call an organized movement class, that you still have to connect with the fact that you're moving your body, whether it's up the stairs in your home, whether it's from your car to the bank, whether it's standing in line at the grocery store holding your abdominals. You need to be very, very aware of the times in your day-to-day activities when you are moving your body so you can maximize the movement. too often we're so busy running around trying to get things done that we completely disconnect from the body. And what I'm working on now is to help women stay connected even while they're doing their day-to-day activities. For example, sitting in the chair, that the abdominals are engaged, that the spine is in a nice upright position, that when you come out of the chair, it's like coming up from a squat using the thigh muscles as opposed to dragging yourself up out of the chair. When you're doing any public transportation, whether you're trying to get up on the bus, stepping upstairs in your home, you're using the buttock muscles to do the work. Not what I call the reach and pull, not dragging yourself up the stairs, but instead firing those muscles that are needed for that action to happen. Like I said, climbing stairs or up subway public transportation is using the buttock muscles and abdominals, not the reach and pull from the upper body. These are the things to me that start to build the foundation for a very solid, active lifestyle. Once the body comes into position and can start to understand how to move well, then activity can be increased. So one of the clients, Jeanette and I, shared the most effective thing, or I should say the most effective activity we did the very first time, was to lay her down on the floor for her to get grounded. The effect of that was so solid that she understood breath, bones, and muscles. This woman now, and this is probably about a year and a half later, is running half marathons with a hope of being part of the New York City Marathon. She's trying to qualify with nine runs this year. But my point of the story is that this woman started with just laying on the floor and tuning into her body. She had been diagnosed with diabetes and now is no longer showing any symptoms of diabetes, meaning her blood sugar levels are within normal range. So it's so important to start from the very basics and connect it in your daily life. My feeling is even if you're sitting and watching TV, that at some point you sit up straight and find your feet on the floor and find your breathing. Not numbing out to what's going on, but staying connected as often as you can during the day. Sometimes we confuse activity with running around in a busy life, but the busy life is busy in the head and dragging the body around. When the people tell me they've had a very, very busy day, it usually refers to what I call that busyness of getting a lot of things accomplished, but maybe not necessarily raising one's heart rate, but instead raising one's stress level or blood pressure levels by trying to get the stressful things done in life. If there's any time during your day that you can raise the heart rate, either by a fast walk or, as we talked about, climbing the stairs, you want to try to do this to help regulate blood sugars. So the last piece I want to talk about before I head it over to Jeanette is that tracking how your body feels during the day with regards to food is incredibly important. One of the things I've seen most with my clients is what I refer to as the erratic eating. Not necessarily the dieting, but the erratic that goes on. Most of us know the sensation of when we've had no food, when the blood sugar dips so low. Sometimes we think the sensation is cranky or irritable. That's when the blood sugar has dipped so low that you could just about eat anything that stands in front of you. On the far end is the Thanksgiving meal, which most women experience either as pain, stuffed, extremely uncomfortable. What we're trying to do is keep the system regulated by making sure that the body gets a very appropriate amount of food. And what is that sensation when the body gets the appropriate amount of food? Some women have said it feels balanced. They feel comfortable. For me personally, it feels home, that my body has reached home. So take a moment if you can and just see if you can sense what does your body feel like when you've had the appropriate amount of food. This, to me, translates to not only a clear signal from the body to the brain, but also translates into a nice, even regulated blood sugar level throughout the day. So with that, I'm going to turn the call over to Jeanette, who will talk a bit about some of the foods that help to regulate blood sugar. Jeanette, are you there? Jeanette, you'll need star 7 to unmute if you're there.
Okay. Am I here now?
You are. Welcome.
I'm here. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. I'm so glad to be on the call. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
And so, yes, indeed, regulating, I tend to use the word balance a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because the balancing is something that makes us understand that this is not an either-or in our choices. It is a way that we keep exactly what you said, regulating throughout the day.
Right.
So it's really, really important to allow yourself to have it as a big, large umbrella looking at it rather than the details of every single little thing becomes it becomes so overwhelming. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try to give you like an umbrella view, if you can say that, to use for balancing and adjusting yourself throughout the day in this way. And balancing blood sugar is all about fiber. The fiber is what slows it down. It slows down how fast you're absorbing the sugar from the food. And when I say sugar, there's several sources of sugar, and it's very important that we understand that sugar, as a glucose, as you know, is very important for our system and for ourselves. But it's relative to which kind of sugar. And that is why you all know that regular cane sugar is not a good idea. We sort of know that already. But why not? Because it gets absorbed too fast. But any kind of glucose from complex carbs and from vegetables, complex carbs mean your grains, any cooked grain or whole grain, bread, things like that. That is where your complex carbs come from, or the complex glucose, I like to call it. And that is the one with a lot of fiber, which means that you allow it's sort of like the body lets the sugar, the glucose, drop with little distances into the bloodstream instead of dumping it in one shot. So if you focus on a few things every day, one thing to focus on is always making sure that there's a good amount of fiber in what you're eating, because that will always help you balance and extend the uptake of the glucose. And that also, for example, means all your vegetables. Now, there has for a long time been an approach or a myth that you can't have fruit when you have diabetes and you can't have too many carbs, but instead have a lot of protein. Well, this is another sort of myth that is starting to change, and actually the recommendation for a diabetic diet and for diabetes as a diabetic prevention is changing. Because what has been discovered is that too much saturated fat from animal products will cause insulin to rise. But the balancing effect of complex fiber-rich foods will cause insulin to be more balanced because the blood sugar is extended, the blood sugar uptake is extended. So interestingly enough, a lot of people have sort of held off with the complex carbs and the vegetables and the fruit. That is not what's necessary. It's the processed stuff. The refined flours, the refined sugars, and some of the simple fruits sometimes can be a little fast, but still there's fiber and fruit as well. Now, the other part of why this is so important is because the refined foods also cause inflammation. And diabetes is considered a disease of inflammation. And by the way, so are most diseases that we see today. Heart disease is inflammation. Cancer is inflammation. Because basically, inflammation in the body means that there is the cells cannot uptake nutrients, and they die from too little good glucose going into the cells. And therefore, illness can overcome them. So in prevention, it is very important to help your body by alkalizing all the time. And that is, again, why I'm using the word balancing, because it is not all lost if you're eating a cookie. It is all lost maybe if you keep eating cookies all day long. So it's important that we look at it and say, okay, well, in this umbrella viewpoint of mine, I need to add a lot of alkalizing foods all the time throughout the day. And the most alkalizing, which is also anti-inflammation, is green foods. Anything green, pretty much. That means your broccoli, your string beans, asparagus, leafy greens like arugula and watercress. Kale and collard greens are great if you cook them a little bit and steam them a little bit. And they're also very high in fiber. So you get both ends. You get fiber, and you get the fiber, and you get the alkalizing effect as well. So it's sort of like a double-handed helper. Now, when I mentioned before about the insulin going up with saturated fats, that means what's really important instead is to focus more and more on protein from things like legumes, which is your beans and lentils, but also from foods like fish, nuts and seeds, and also avocado is actually a protein, but it is also a good omega-3 rich food, and that is the other element. Anti-inflammation, omega-3. It could be both as a supplement, but it could also be the foods you're choosing, the fish, the nuts, the seeds, and the avocado, olive oil for that matter too. So there is a difference also in how you daily help adjusting your blood sugar levels. And there are different little things you can add to your food that do so. You can add flaxseed to your food that helps slow down absorption of the sugar from, for example, if you're having oatmeal. You can add flaxseed to it, and it also adds omega-3 fatty acids, which again also helps to slow down the absorption of the sugars in the oatmeal. And now when I say sugars, I mean the good sugars, because it's the glucose that we need. Cinnamon is also a really good idea. I use cinnamon as soon as I can get to it. I was about to say, like any breakfast of mine, there's cinnamon on it because it helps balance the blood sugar. And that means I start out the day by balancing my blood sugar as much as possible. And throughout the day, you can, something like carrots and onion. A lot of times people have thought, oh, no, I can't eat carrots. But actually, when they're absorbed, they're still pretty fine and good and dandy. And a really yummy add-on to this is onion. So onion is something that helps balance the blood sugar level. And garlic. Garlic is a nice spice for this. Another spice that's really good to use, but that's not to balance your blood sugar as much as it is fighting inflammation, which then indirectly helps you heal or prevent what's going on in your body, and that is turmeric and ginger. Those are both very, very good herbs to use when you're cooking, or spices to use when you're cooking. So that's an important part as well. And then, of course, there is the issue of diet soda. Actually, I would suggest that as much as possible that you choose tea, especially green tea, over coffee, because it helps balance the blood sugar. Coffee does not. It actually causes it to be imbalanced. And diet soda has actually been shown to also imbalance the blood sugar level. And why is that? That's because the body thinks that sugar is coming because it's sweet tasting. And therefore, it starts all the whole manufacturing plant and the machinery gets started to absorb sugar. But guess what? It's not coming. So actually, you're getting an unstable blood sugar level by drinking diet soda. And the other element is high fructose corn syrup. Not only does it block your ability to know when you're full, because it causes a blockage of what's called leptin. But it also causes you to not register absorption of fats. So that means high fructose corn syrup basically causes you to overeat. And the diet soda causes your imbalance of your blood sugar. So I really will suggest that you look at water as your next new best friend as much as possible, and add little things that make it taste better, like you can add high, you know, like a concentration of noni juice or a little pomegranate juice with water. Just add a little bit to give it that taste, or lemon is wonderful. And I also put cucumber in my water. Sometimes I put just berries in the water, a little bit of fresh berries in the water. Not only does it look really good, it also tastes good, because it gives you the taste without all the sugars that cause the imbalance. But really, water is your best friend. Also, because you need to be really hydrated a lot, that also is a helper against inflammation. So that is sort of like, if that's a good umbrella view for you, I hope it is. And when you're speaking of vegetable, by the way, I want to add that don't be scared of the root vegetables. One of my clients who is diabetic, you know, one of her favorites is sweet potato, and it doesn't hurt her. It doesn't affect her blood sugar. It actually keeps her fine and stable. But that's because her other foods surrounding it are balancing as well. And that is, again, taking that umbrella view. So if you've had something with high sugar in it, you might not want to add the sweet potato also. You might want to slow that down and then say, okay, fine, I'm having more like low starchy green vegetable type of things with it instead. Look at this all the time from the alkalizing point of view, the balancing point of view, and really prolonging the uptake of the food by adding fiber and good healthy fats from omega-3 fatty acids. And then the lean proteins, and that's, as I mentioned before, the more like the legume and the bean family. It's just as high in protein as an animal protein is, and your fish and things like that. Does that cover, you think?
Yes, that's fantastic. And Jeanette, what I'd like to do now is invite our clients on the line to unmute their phones with the *7, and we'll open it up for a few questions, because I certainly have a few for you as well. So okay. Everyone, if you'd like to *7, that will bring you back on the line. And Jeanette, I'm going to start first, if you don't mind. This subject of inflammation is incredibly important, I think, because even the client will feel sometimes they'll refer to it as puffy, or I feel puffy today, or things like that. So,
and also soreness.
Soreness?
Soreness in your joints.
Mm-hmm.
Tired. Hard to get up in the morning. Hard to focus. Feeling fuzzy. All that stuff has to do with inflammation, too. Moody.
And
all that stuff is also a part of the symptoms of inflammation, yes.
And could you, if you wouldn't mind, could you touch on just a couple of the foods or a few of the foods that cause inflammation?
Yes. The refined food, processed food, packaged food, which is sort of like broken down into, you can't recognize it anymore, and you
mm-hmm.
wonder where it actually came from.
Mm-hmm.
Refined foods, which means the fiber has been removed. So the more refined and the higher the sugar, the cane sugar is in the food,
right,
the more refined the flour is. So that means if it's white flour versus whole flour, whole wheat flour versus whole grain flour,
mm-hmm.
or even like sprouted grain, which is becoming a popular bread.
I see.
You know, so the levels of inflammation, the higher higher the food is refined, the more acidifying it is. And excess meat. Meat is also acidifying.
Mm-hmm.
Like chicken even is acidifying, actually.
Mm.
And we don't really understand it as that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, alcohol, candy, that kind of stuff is very acidifying.
Mm.
And coffee, actually, by the way, too, is very acidifying.
And coffee, yeah.
Yeah.
So my Ben and Jerry's and Tostitos could kind of put me over the top, huh?
It can if you mix it all up in one shot. Yes.
Okay.
Stretch it out.
That's my little secret out of there. Okay.
Yes.
So I'd like to open the call up if anyone has a question for Jeanette or myself. If you could, you just say your name if you'd like, and then you could just ask the question.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm a type 2 diabetic.
Yep.
My blood glucose is like 120, but my A1C is about 7. And I just found out I have a very low vitamin D count. It's like 5.7, which is really, really low.
Right.
And I want to know if you know if that affects the diabetes.
Well, both yes and no. Indirectly, it does, because what happens is that when your D levels are low, other things in your body happens, which both affect your blood sugar levels, but also your hunger. And your mood, for that matter, too, which then often makes you eat more sugary foods. So indirectly, yes, but also yes, you should be much higher on your D levels. Actually, it's being found out that D has also a lot to do with your metabolism, and that's not something people normally really mention much about.
Right, right.
Your metabolism has to do with your diabetes too. Right?
Yeah, I don't have a metabolism, basically.
Yeah. So a few things, like if you're not on insulin, chromium, picolinate, and D and omega-3 fatty acids are all great supplements. If you are on insulin, you cannot take chromium, picolinate.
No, I'm not on insulin, but he put me on 50,000 international units a week.
Yeah.
For 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean,
to
me that sounded like a lot, but I don't think it is from what I'm reading.
Right. Well, what happens is that they give you a shot to begin with, like you're really boosted up. Okay. But for anybody, just in case other people that are on insulin don't start saying, oh, great, I'm going to go get chromium to colonate. Don't do that if you're on insulin. But also B-complex is also very, very important, and folic acid. Those are very important supplements, like a multivitamin with that in it is important for your metabolism, point one, but also in the control of diabetes. A lot of, there's a lot of signs that low complex B, not only does it challenge your stress hormones and your nervous system, but it also actually can be participating in diabetes. So that is another supplement to make sure that you get.
And how much of the chromium would I take?
That is an individual. Normally, I would just follow, a 200 to 400 milligram a day.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Linda, this is Rochelle. If you don't mind, are you outdoors much during the day, or are you?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I just wondered about that. I've been reading a little bit more about that as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Another question?
Well, hi, this is Susan in Florida. Am I on?
Yes, you are, Susan.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that was me. I had a little pause there. Hello, Susan.
Okay. I've been told that strawberries are a good fruit for lowering blood sugar. Does Jeanette know about that or comment on that?
I don't know if it's good for lowering blood sugar per se, but I will say don't be too scared of berries. However, I would take a berry like blueberries and things like that. I don't know. I would have to look into strawberries particularly. If that is something that is standing out. I do know that it's not a problem to eat strawberries.
Not?
It's not.
Okay,
but
good.
I wouldn't go into excess with anything when it comes to fruit. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, it's all about, because even if a cup of berries might be fine, but if you're having 3 cups of berries, all of a sudden you've had enough glucose for the day, I was about to say, for the meal, right? So all of a sudden, you are going into excess, and then it will cause your insulin to go up. So you want to always say, okay, I need my proportions. And when I say proportions, it also, of course, means portions, but proportions. You need to always think of the balancing effect. Okay? So just because one thing is good doesn't mean that more of it is better.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point, Jeanette. Did that help, Susan?
Yep.
Okay, great.
And I will also say with fruit, it's much better for you to do, even though dry fruit is high in fiber, it's also very concentrated in sugar because of the water being gone and because of the contraction of it. So the sugar, glucose, glycemic index is higher in dried fruit. So if you're eating some dried fruit, like a trail mix, It needs to be a trail mix, I was about to say, because it needs to have some of the nuts and seeds in there to slow down the absorption. It'll go too fast.
Okay.
So it's better with fresh fruit, like having an apple or something like that.
Yeah, Jeanette, I think I would like to put it out there to the women on the call. You know what your body feels like when you've taken in a huge amount of sugar. You know, it's just the sensation is like, at one point, Jeanette, you said like a shot of it. You know, it's just the body goes into such a state. And I think to try to then work around the food that way is very helpful, to notice which foods don't spike your blood sugar is really tuning into navigating well.
And that's, for example, also why I say to people, if you're going to have a sweeter food, like have dark chocolate, you know, but have dark chocolate with that, like I found one that's called Endangered Species. It's sweetened with beet sugar and beet juice instead of cane sugar. And, you know, and the darker the chocolate, the less the sugar.
Yay, but there's still chocolate we can have.
Yeah.
Terrific.
But don't have white chocolate, don't have milk chocolate, because it's so much higher in sugar.
Right,
right. You can almost feel it. You it's like you eat that stuff and it's stuck in your mouth kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas dark chocolate, it melts in your mouth. Have you noticed?
No, but I'll try it out.
Yeah. You know what? It's actually quite wonderful. If you take a piece of really, really dark chocolate and sort of like suck on it like you would like a hard candy.
Right.
It lasts forever in your mouth. It's really yummy.
I'll try that one.
Yeah, you get more out of it.
Good. Is there another question for Jeanette?
Can I add something?
My dear, you have a wealth of information. Go right ahead.
Something that's a little bit of an iffy, tricky issue, and that is dairy. And I wasn't really going to bring it up, and then I was going to bring it up, and back and forth, and I've decided just right now that I just brought it up.
Tell us about dairy, Jeanette.
So, you know, dairy is probably one of the reasons why we have such an influx of both inflammation and of diabetes, okay? Because dairy is sugar water with saturated fat in it, right? All right, that's what dairy is.
Wow.
Right? So, and then when you get skim milk, it's sugar water with removed fat in it. Okay. So be mindful, be careful, because they don't really tell us this, and it's all the politics of the world and whatever. But dairy actually can really cause an imbalance in your whole insulin situation here, okay? I would suggest that when you have dairy, have goat or sheep stuff, dairy things, okay? Because the glucose level and the fat level is completely different. And the proportion of the animal is much more equal to the proportion of us. From baby to grown up, okay? The proportion of a cow from baby to grown up is so, there's such a distance for these two sizes, right?
Right.
So the more dairy we get, and not only that, the growth hormone that is naturally in dairy, it's called TGF-1, it directly causes tumor growth in cancer.
Ooh.
Okay? So, and since, and I know this is off the topic, but this is very close to my heart, so forgive me, but diabetes and breast cancer goes really closely hand in hand. So if there's any cause for you to be concerned about breast cancer, which is part of my path, is very being very high risk for breast cancer, dairy is such a trigger.
Well.
Okay? So just be mindful, you know, just say, do I really need the extra cheese on top of here? And do I need this? Do I need this? Do I really want it? Can I have goat cheese instead of this? So just think about it.
Jeanette, you know, you make a very good point, and I've said this before. With the knowledge, there's times that you can neutralize the emotion then around food. That's what I feel, the knowledge helps to at times neutralize the emotion, that you've got at least some more information to draw from as a woman to make some different choices based on the valuable information that you're presenting tonight. So that's my sense of it anyway, that I now can think about it differently from my body as opposed to from my head and my emotions. So,
right.
I thank you for presenting it that way. We have time for one last question. Is there anyone?
It's Alice. And I just really wanted to offer a comment since Jeanette brought up dairy. I had an experience in working with Jeanette, and very liberating, the whole notion about information, and particularly about dairy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a suggestion that I might want to give that up, and I did give it up, and it permanently has removed an inflammation that caused me to be plagued with a constant sinus. And Jeanette said, well, if you'd find it possible to consider giving up dairy, and I followed that suggestion, and I am absolutely liberated from these sinus infections. And I occasionally will have goat cheese, and it's not about being deprived. You really don't feel deprived, and that really takes us back to the whole thing about the liberation with of the information. I don't feel deprived at all. I feel very free. On the contrary. So thank you, Jeanette.
Yeah, you're very welcome, and thank you for pointing that out, because when we look at giving things up, look at what you've gained from it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Terrific.
And so what I mentioned was of inflammation, what are some of those symptoms? Tiredness, irritability, soreness, stiffness, sore joints. Apart from being bloated and feeling stuffed and whatever, feeling compacted, you know? So think of what you can gain from it.
Terrific.
You know, very important. Yeah.
Well, Jeanette, I want to thank you so much for being on the call. Jeanette's website, ladies, is Path for Life, PathForLife.com, PathForLife.com. And her New York telephone number is 212-260-0604. And Jeanette, I know you have a new book out as well. Could you give us a little more information about that?
Right. I wrote a book. It's just a tiny, small book. I wrote it for a supplement company asked me to write it for them about appetite control. So it's a small, little, short book, but it's very comprehensive about how to control appetite with choosing foods. So if you're interested, send me an email. I'll be happy to ship it to you. It's not a lot of money. It's $9 for the book. And it gives you a pretty good umbrella view, basically, on how to work with your appetite, because if we want to lose weight or, in general, just feeling more energized throughout the day, how we work with our food, as I just said before, too, is what gives us that sustaining both energy but also controlling our appetite.
And I do want to say it's presented in such a user-friendly way with information that is just valuable. It's not over the top with medical, you know, with the craziness, but it's very, very user-friendly. So I highly recommend it. Okay, ladies, I want to thank you so much. Jeanette, it's a pleasure. You have so much information to share, and I hope we can do this again sometime. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us this evening with the diabetes information. Our next teleconference will be on May 18th, on Monday, May 18th. And I'll be doing next month something on PCOS, which is polycystic ovary syndrome. And that will be at 8:30 p.m. And I also wanted to let you know that our wellness weekend, we've just shifted the dates to make some changes. Our wellness weekend will be July 31st through August 2nd, upstate New York and New Lebanon, New York. And all of that information is updated on my website, RochelleRice.com. I want to thank you all for taking time out of your busy lives to stay with you and your body for a moment and to learn a little bit of information. Jeanette, thank you again. Have a wonderful evening, everyone, and hope to see you in May. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks,
Rochelle.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.